Yes, I've been washed, I've been cleansed by his precious blood at Calvary. Does anybody tonight just want to just say, just want to give God some praise, thank him for something maybe he's done special in your life in the last week or two or last month or whatever? Anybody at all just want to thank him? Amen, it's good. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. It's good. Anybody else? Anybody else? All righty. If you will, turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. First of all, I want to thank the Lord for his saving grace. I thank him for wanting to save me. He didn't have to. But I could have begged, and I could have kept on begging, but he didn't have to. But I'm just so thankful, and I'm so grateful that he did. And not only that, even to this day, I still don't know why, but he called me to the ministry, and I don't understand none of it. I just try to do what he's asked me to do, and I thank him for opening doors here, for me to be here. I've learned a lot down here. I've learned a whole lot from each one of you about faith. And it takes faith to do anything at all for God. And I just want to let you know that I do thank you and for what you've taught me and everything. I know that you could have got a better pastor. I know that you could have got a better preacher. But, you know, I'm just here, I'm trying to do God's work, and y'all just pray for me, and I'll be praying for y'all, and we'll cut, still believe that God's gonna do something. I don't have no idea when, but that's not up to me, that's up to Him when He does it. But tonight, I want to just talk to you tonight a little bit on some, it's about five verses here, and it's speaking of the beauty of a Christian home. The beauty of a Christian home. Now, in verse 38 and down through 42, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, "Lord, doest thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." Verse 41, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and are troubled about many things." Verse 42, "But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." That word "but," when a sentence starts off with the word "but," I'm no English, and I don't know what all word, if it's a vowel or noun, I don't know none of that. But I do know this, that I believe when a verse starts off with a "but," you need to listen, because there's something there in the remainder of that verse that God wants you to hear, and God wants you to be able to understand it for His work and for His service. But here, speaking tonight on the beauty of a Christian home. The beauty of a Christian home. This day and time, I'm afraid that there's far and few of them around anymore. The beauty of a Christian home. But I thank the Lord for the ones that do have the Christian home. And that Christian home has been dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ and to Him only. He's first in thy life. And then this thy family is second. And then third is the house of worship and the house of praise in the church of God. But we must realize, to receive a blessing from the Lord, we have got to do our part. We've got to walk as a Christian. How do we walk as a Christian? We walk with a smile on our face. We walk straight up. We don't bow over. We don't bow one side to the other, because when we do that, that's a sign of us maybe at the point of maybe switching over. And I'm not aiming to switch over. As long as the Lord God Almighty give me a mind to think and a heart to believe, I'm not going to change. I'm not going to go over to the side of the devil and his worshipers and his followers. But the subject tonight, in this study of what we've just read, we see where that the home is represented right here. And we know that there are two ladies here, and both the names was Martha. And with that in mind, I have been told in times past, and I have heard from in times past, that while two ladies are living together with a family and everything, that they're not going to always get along. Everything's not going to always be kosher. Something is going to happen to where one's going to end up doing more than the other. And we see this right here in the case, right here. We see where it says right here in verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. The beauty of the Christian home. We can see some characteristics of the home that we are associated with today. And I'm thankful that we do, that I do have a Christian home. And I do think that we are trying our very best to allow him to be number one in our life. And don't get me wrong. Now, I mean, sometimes we have spats. Sometimes, you know, men, yeah, we do. We have disagreements at times. And in the past, we've had arguments at times. But even with the arguments and the disagreements that we had, we never went to bed that night without telling each other that we love them. And I don't believe that you can be a true Christian, and I don't think you can have a true Christian home without the love of God in it. And I do thank God for that. I thank God that he instilled within me after I got saved that I need to always remember that God gave her to me. And not only that, she has got to remember too that God gave me to her, and we became one. And how true that is. If one thinks of something and to do or whatever, you should be so close, connected to one another, that something is going to happen to where, oh man, I seen that coming all along. Yeah, I agree with that. Hey, we got to learn to agree. We got to learn to disagree, but to good degree. Degree to where we can love one another and we can do God's work. If we do not love one another and if we do not agree on the things that God has taught us, then we're not going to be able to love one another, and we're not going to be able to agree together. Thing right here, I wish I could throw it away myself, but I can't. She won't let me. But the Christian home is a home in which the Lord Jesus Christ should be the welcome guest. The door should always be open for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? We should hang the door. We should hang on our outside door. And I really hadn't thought about that until this right here. And I'll see if I can get Christy to make something. Or maybe I might go buy something. But I think it would be nice if we could put on the outside of our door, "Welcome, Jesus. You're the guest. Welcome. Come on in and sup with us. Come on in and let's have a little discussion. Let's come on in and let's have a little talk together." You know, many people today, they don't want to have no little talk with the Lord. A whole lot of times people, they went so long in talking to the Lord, they don't even know how to get back in touch with Him. And I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be that way. But He should always be welcome into our home. He should always be the first one that we think of when we go to the table and partake of the food that maybe our family has made or this restaurant has cooked up. We need to go to Him and we need to thank Him. Why? Because He's a welcome guest. He's a welcome guest, and we should not have to go to Him and ask the welcome guest, "Would you mind praying over this food?" But how many times does that happen? How many times does that happens today? That you'll go and you'll go somewhere and you'll be visiting them, especially a homecoming or something like that, and it's the first time you've been there in a long time, a while, something like that. They're going to always ask, and I don't know why they do this. They always ask the guest pastor, the guest preacher that's going to be speaking that day, always to lead them in the thanking of the meal. We don't need to ask guests to thank the Lord. We need to thank the Lord. Why? Because we invited the guest. And the guest needs to understand where we stand and understand in what we are trying to do in our own lives. And I'm not saying that when we ask the Lord's blessings on the meal, I'm not saying that we need to get there and we need to pray for everything else, and then we don't pray so long and then we forget about the meal. I've known that to happen. Matter of fact, it's happened to me. I've let it happen to me. And I should not allow that to happen. I should be focused on what I'm praying about. I need to be focused on who I'm praying to. I need to be focused on the throne room of God. I need to be focused on the power that is sitting right there. And I need to be focused on that to where I can just grasp a hold to it. Where I can just grasp at it. You know, you know this to be true too in your past. Even here at Faith Baptist Church, in the past, when you've had revivals, even had a or just a regular Sunday morning service or Sunday night or Wednesday night service, that God would be so present here and the thickness of his being that you could just reach out and touch him. You could just reach out and be able to grab his arm. And when you did, you could just feel the way you can't squeeze your hand together no quicker. No more than what you do. Why? Because he's present. He is present, and his presence is so thick. See, because God's nothing but, he's a spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ is a spirit. The Holy Ghost is a spirit. And all three of them are H-E, he. There's no she, there's no her, it's he. Some people, they, even today, they have confusion, they will argue about what color is the Lord? What color is the Lord? What is his antithesis? I can't pronounce it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Where he come from? Hey, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's a full-blooded Jew. Full-blooded Jew. And if you ever met a Jew, I hear in life yourself, if you sit down and if you talk to him, you'll come to find out some things about him and some things about what they believe. They don't believe much. They don't believe much. But there's one that comes on TV, on the news, every now and then. I was born a Jew into my family. I'm full-blooded Jew. But I'm a Christian first. I'm a Christian first. And yes, Jews, you can have some Jewish people out here that are Christian. You can have some Muslims out here that's Christians. You can have all types of life out here that are Christians. If they've been born again, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. And when you're born again, then you have a place reserved for you one day when it's time for us to go. And I know in the past I may have come up and I may have said, well, when my number comes up, I don't think I should say that, because that's not, I don't think it's appropriate to say. But I was saying it maybe to some individual about, hey, your number is going to come up before somebody else's number. But sometimes your number can bypass somebody else's number. Dear friend of mine, he's retired now, but he used to run a garage up on off of 58. What's the name of that road up there? It goes back into next to Tunstall. Down in, on that highway there, he run an old mill. a meal that used to, they would take it and they would run it by, it would be run by water. And they would grind up the feed of the people that bring the harvest in. They would grind the feed by the water wheel, by the water coming in and turning that wheel constantly, day and night. And I went by there one day, and I was going somewhere else to see somebody else, and I happened to see him walk from his house down to his garage. His son's running it now. And I said, I'm going to go up and see Charlie. That's his name, Charlie. So I turned in the driveway, and turned right there, and I stopped. And I waited for him to walk on down. And he kind of eyed me, and he looked at me. I mean, he said, well, I wonder who in the world that is. Been a long time since he's seen me, and a long time since I've seen him. But he come on down, and when our eyes met, when we got that close, he said these three words to me: are you saved? That's what come out of his mouth. Are you saved? I said, Brother Charlie, if I weren't saved, I wouldn't have stopped here. Because I know that you are. And I kept on talking to him. And I told him, I said, well, you know, you're looking good today. You look like you feel good and everything. Don't look like you've aged a bit. He said, well, thank you for that, but I have aged right much. And he was in his 80s. And he says, you know, I got at the house one day, and I got to thinking about that. And I was reading over in the scripture where it says 70, 70 years. You know, that's what we're promised. And we can even make it longer or shorter. It's up to us. And he said, you know, I got to thinking about that. And I really got to pondering on it. And then it wasn't but 2 or 3 days later after that, a friend of his that was saved, was a Christian, been in church just about as long as Charlie had. But then something happened and he got out of church. I don't know what it was. Charlie didn't say it. I didn't ask. But he said he got out of church. He never did come back to church. He never did darken the door. I don't know if he ever went anywhere else. But he died a couple of days ago. And he says, you know, I got to thinking about them 70 years. 70, 70 years. And here it is, I'm well over 80 years old. And this man right here, he was 57 years of age. In other words, God had promised him 70, just like he promises us. But we can shorten it. He said he had 13 more years that God had promised him. That was God's promise. But when he got out of church, and when he did not even think about God or think about going to church anyway, God started decreasing his years. And he says, when he did, I picked up the 13 years. I picked up his part that he had coming to him. And not only that, some other people out here that had passed away at an earlier age. And I picked up some of their years. That's the reason God has blessed me to the point that I'm over 80 years old. And you know, I've never thought about it that way. But how true that is. How true that can be. We can add to our years if we want to. If we really want to add them. But there's one thing about it. The word is patience. We know what the Bible says. The Bible says an individual that waits on patience gonna have tribulation. We're gonna have tribulation. Ain't no doubt about that. Anytime that we wait, and we wait on God, and we wait for Him to do something within our own lives, it takes patience. And patience worketh tribulation. Patience. I don't have patience. You can ask my wife. Matter of fact, you can go to somebody else. You can go straight to God and ask God. So God, is that right? You mean the preacher said he don't have patience. Is he telling you the truth? God will say, yes, he's telling you the truth. I just don't have the patience. But I'm trying my very best to allow some of that patience to work. And it's hard. It is really hard. But the Christian home is a home in which the Lord Jesus is given the chief place, or the place, the wow. He's an authority. He's an authority. In John verse 39 it says, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. Now, Martha saying right here, said her sister stayed back there in the living room or the den, what you want to call it. Stayed right there. But she was bowed down in front of him. She was washing his feet. She was cleaning him. She was there listening to every word. And sometimes he wouldn't say a word. But she was just waiting for him to say something, where she could grasp a hold to it. And then Martha, she come out. She come out because she was in the kitchen making bread. She was in the kitchen washing the dishes. She was in the kitchen cleaning up. And she came and she asked the Lord, Jesus, said, Jesus, would you please talk to Martha, allow Martha to come back out and help me. Help me prepare the food for you today. She didn't want to go nowhere. Mary didn't want to go nowhere else. Why? She was right where she needed to be. You know, sometimes, I'm getting there. I'm gonna say it. Sometimes, and I'm gonna take myself as an example. Sometimes I just need to push myself away from the table, and I need to push myself away from the kitchen and get along with Jesus and bow to His feet, and to where the tears that will come forth will be the tears that will clean and wipe His feet. Am I too good to wipe His feet? Nope. I'm not too good. Am I too good to come down there? And if you happen to walk, and if you happen to come out, and if you happen to leave the church tonight, and you stumble and you fall, and you trip over something, and your shoe has come off, I need to be the first one there. I need to be the first one there to help you get up. I need to be the first one there to grab a hold of your shoe and to put your shoe back on you. That's what you call being a pastor. That's what you call in being a deacon. That's what we are. We are to serve you. You're not supposed to serve and worship me. I'm supposed to serve you. And that's what Brother Bill's job is. Brother Bill's job is to serve you and to serve me. And I'm supposed to serve Brother Bill. We're supposed to serve each other. But it comes to the point that I'm supposed to be there at the top of it. Because, you see, if I don't show myself and what I need to do, how can I expect you to do any better? If I'm not willing to do it, how can I expect you to do it? I can't. I'm not too good to clean the restrooms. I'm not too good to vacuum. My wife says, the way my wife talks, she must think I'm too good to vacuum and do all this stuff. Because she won't let me. She won't let me vacuum. She won't let me do stuff at the house. She said, because if you do it, I'm going to have to redo it anyhow. I said, well, and if that's the case, why should I go do it if she don't want me to do it? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Everybody has their own way of doing things.
That's right. For Mary, if she was at His feet, not only her, but I believe everybody else that came to where Jesus was at, they eventually was at His feet. Even the one that had been bedridden and got to the point that he couldn't walk. So he had four men to come there because this man wanted to go and see Jesus. He wanted to go and see Jesus. But he didn't have no way there. He could not walk because he was bedridden. But if we really want to get to where Jesus is, there's always a way. There's always a way. We just have to pray for it. And there was four individuals. One each of the bedposts there went to visit him because they knew and they had heard that he'd been praying that he wanted to see Jesus. And he just knew if he just went and seen Jesus, just seeing, that he would get up and walk out of the building. He just knew he had enough faith in just his eyesight being fixed on Jesus, not in just in the touch of Jesus, but just his eyesight being fixed on him. Had four men that heard that he wanted to go. You had the first one there. His name was Love. He loved the individual. He loved people. He wanted to see all people to get to Jesus. He wanted all people to know him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever was the man laying there on that stretcher. That man was me. That individual, that man was you. We have to remember one thing. Anytime that we read God's word and God's speaking about it, when he says man, is not always speaking about the male, is always speaking about both of them, the male and the female. Other words, he's always talking and he's always telling something about the gentleman, what he needs to hear, and also and to the lady, what she needs to hear. That's God. First one was named Love, then you had the second one. Name him Faith. Why? Because the one that loved him enough. And his second one, he had enough faith that he was believing in what Love could do for him. Could get him to the cross. Could get him to the where Jesus was at. Then you have the third one. We can name him Commitment. He committed his life to the individual that he come in contact with. He committed what he knew about the Lord Jesus Christ. But he was committed in seeing God's work being done. And last, but not least, his name was Victory. Because he knew with the other three, Love and Faith and Commitment, and him, Victory, that if all four of them got the man to Jesus, then they know that they would be victorious over what they was about to do. And how victorious they was. They went all around the house. They went around the house and looked in the windows, and they seen where they couldn't get in because the people were so packed. Now I can't remember that. Any churches? But I've had individuals that tell me that they have been to church in the past, that they could come to church, and the church would be so filled, people would be standing, and you'd have people on the outside looking in. looking in and just wanting to, they just was wanting to hear something. They wanted to hear some kind of good news. Because, see, what all they was hearing was bad news. Same thing today. That's all we hear anymore, is bad news. We need to want to hear some good news. But they won the victory. And they took and they could not get in by the window or the front door or the back door. So they took the ladder that was placed there and they put it up against the house. And they climbed up on the roof. How they got the bed up out, I don't know. But they got the bed up out. They got the invalid up there. The one could not walk. Got him up out. And they could not see no way of getting him through to where Jesus was at. So one of them went, knocked a little hole in the ceiling, in the roof part there. And he got to looking around and see where Jesus was at, where he was standing at down there. And they found out where he was standing. So they went and started taking off the roof. They started taking off the roof. I'm so glad that somebody was taking the roof off of my life to where Jesus could get to my heart. I'm so glad of that, and I'm thankful for it. But they lowered him down into the midst. And where do you think that he landed when he got down on the floor? Where do you think he landed? He didn't land over there in the corner. He didn't land over here in the corner. He landed right at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus made him whole. He didn't need no bed no more. He went out that door. And you think he went up the road just a walking and just a skipping and everything and said, "Oh, I love Jesus." Oh, glory to God. I can go another hour on just that. But I'll tell you, ain't it good to know Jesus? Really? Ain't it good just to know him? And just to know him, that he's my friend? And that my friend, he will never reveal anything about me or anything. He will never gossip on me. Why? Because he's the truest of all friends. And he loves me that much. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Lord, we just ask God that you will just meet with these people. And Father, the remainder of this week. Father, I do not know exactly what you have in mind for them to do this week. But Lord, I do know that you do have something in mind. I don't have no idea what it is. I don't even know exactly what it is that you want me to do this week. But Father, I'm asking, Lord, that you will make it so real to me that I can go and I can be able to be a part of what you will want me to do this week. Father, we thank you, Lord. We pray, Father, that we will be able to meet somebody and explain them the gospel. And Father, that they may give their heart and their life to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right. Thank you. You know,